want to be mindful here of the spirit this morning. Cheryl, I asked her to sing a certain song. Her and Tristan was supposed to sing. Tristan's not able to be here. And so I asked for this song this morning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And he calls consistently to each one. He don't leave nobody out. And he calls for a purpose, that you might come to him, that I might come to him. And the seriousness of the call of God is more than we realize. Now, not only does he call us to be saved, but he calls us to follow him. He calls us to live like he said to live. And the importance of saying yes to God is far more than we realize. We need to understand that when God calls, we're talking about the God, the High Almighty. There's none other than him. He is the creator. He's not on our level. He's not me and you, but he sets high and places his feet on the earth as a footstool. Now that's the God we're talking about this morning, and he calls for me and you. But the problem is, we don't listen. The problem is, we don't listen. Lost people don't listen. Saved people, they listened for a little bit, but it seemed like today that we've hardened our heads, hardened our hearts, that we don't even listen to God on a consistent basis. God's speaking, but we're not listening. He says, hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what, as the Spirit speaketh, that's what the Bible says. And we need to understand that we need to be affirmative, not to tell God no, but to tell God yes. And we need to understand that. But the seriousness of the hour is what we're wanting to preach about this morning here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. We're just going to use one verse this morning, but there's four parts there, and we're going to look at it very carefully. This is not something we've not preached before. We've preached this verse. Might even preach the same outline, might even preach the same title. It matters not. We're going to preach it this morning, and it's for you that's under the sound of my voice here in the church house, those that will listen later, those who will listen on the website later on, those who's watching live stream, you need to hear this morning. Now listen carefully. Just because God calls consistently now, and just because God calls faithfully to us, there's a time that he may not call. There's a time that he'll quit. Now, he is very patient. He is very patient. I want you to think about in John chapter 3, verse 16, we know the verse. Most everybody will know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's will is that you be saved. The Lord's will is that you have eternal life. The Lord's will is you don't perish. You understand that. The Lord's will is your family don't perish. Your friends don't perish. Your enemies don't perish. He's not wanting nobody to perish. Nobody. Nobody. You understand that. He wants no one to perish. Matters not how you believe. It matters not who you got on against. It matters not who you're mad at. It matters not who lives in another country, what nationality they are. God come to save everybody. Everybody. And he wants everybody to be saved, but everybody don't listen. And then sometimes we listen and we, on purpose, say no. Sometimes we on purpose say no. You ever told anybody no? Huh? Now we're living in a day we don't tell our kids no. You know, but we will tell others no. There's a poem, might be a song, but I've had it for years, known it for years. It said, there is a time, I know not when, there is a place, I know not where, that marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. There is a line by us not seen that crosses every path, a hidden boundary that marks God's mercy and His wrath. See, God's full of mercy right now. But yet, that may fail today for you. He may stop dealing with you. He may stop fooling with you. He may say, enough is enough. Have you ever said enough's enough? Huh? You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't God do that? He's just, He's perfect, He's holy. You say, yeah, but God's a God of love. Yes, He is, but He's just and He's perfect and He's holy. He's right. He's right. But yet people reject Him constantly. Me and Rick visited this week, and a dear friend rejected Christ very openly. Rejected the Bible very openly. Rejected the gospel very openly. Rejected us speaking to him about it very openly. Very nice. Rick said after we left, he said, I've never been run off that nice before. And in a sense, that's what we was. But it was not telling me and Rick no. It was rejecting God. See, I had watched God deal with this person's heart. I'd watched God speak to this man. I'd watched him under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. I'd watched him even invite us to come and speak with him. Then when we got there, he said, I don't know what I was thinking. I wished I'd never asked you to come. Don't ever talk to me about it. Ever. Not ever. I don't ever want to hear about the Bible. Don't want to ever hear you preach to me. Don't want you to ever say one word about it to me ever again. That's what he told us this week. It's been on my mind all week. I can't get away from it. I go to pray. I can't pray without praying for him. I go to read. I can't read without seeing that man. Known him for 40 years. Rick's known him for all of his life. I've known him for over 40 years. And a man says, don't ever, no, don't ever speak to me about it. Don't ever. You ever told God, don't ever ask me again. Don't ever want me to do that again. Don't deal with me. But yet He talks with us constantly. He speaks with us constantly, wanting us to get close to Him, wanting us to quit this or quit that, wanting us to walk a certain way, live a certain way. But yet we say no. And the seriousness of saying no don't enter our mind. Because we think God's on our level. We think that God has walked like we walk. He did walk like we walk. He put on a robe of flesh when He left heaven's glory and put on a robe of flesh and walked as we walked. Took our sin, became sin for us. And like what Brother Rick said, but He didn't become sinful. But He became sin for us. And died in our place. Yeah, He walked, but He was God. But He didn't walk. He walked like us to a point. But He didn't walk like us when He made the blind eyes see and the crippled legs walk and the dumb tongue speak and raise the dead and feed the thousands. He was God in the flesh. He went yonder on Calvary and died for our sins, was buried, rose again, showing that He was God, ascended back into heaven, showing that He was God, and promised to come again because He's God. And yet man And women, men and women, boys and girls, say no. Say no. They don't want to accept the Bible. They don't want to accept the truth. They don't want to accept the gospel. They don't want to accept Jesus Christ. They want to accept their thought of Christ and what He is, not what He truly is. They want their form of religion. Go to church and live like hell. Well, then listen, we better get back to the truth this morning. And I'm going to warn you again this morning as we preach to you for a moment on the seriousness of saying no. The seriousness of saying no to God. See, it ain't just lost people that reject Him. It ain't just lost people that reject Him. How many of us that are saved are dabbling in things that we know we ought not dabble in? Are doing things and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and draws us, wanting us to repent and be clean and walk with Him, and yet we say no. Are you listening to me? This won't be a shouting message this morning. It won't be one that I'm asking for affirmation, because I'm not being smart, Ellie. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not here to please you this morning. I'm here to warn you as an individual, as a man, woman, boy, or girl, that somewhere when you say no to God, it's going to cost far more than you realize. And our people that say no, our people that says no, I've watched them, I've listened to them, I've heard them verbally. When all hope was gone and they were dying with tubes run in them, when they grit their teeth and say no, no. Let me tell you, that's hard. That's a hard heart. Huh? I've done watched it. I've done tried to hold their hand. I've done spoke to them and beg them to Christ. And they say, no. I preach to people every week. Preach to you every week. But yet our lives don't change. Our lives don't seem to change for the gospel's sake. That we don't walk any closer. That we come in one way and leave the same. God, help us to leave the same way that we walk into a church house. God, help us not to leave changed and walking closer. God, help the believer who don't leave closer to God on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. Because if you don't leave changed, you've said no to God. You've said no. And somewhere it's going to catch you. Somewhere it's going to catch you. You don't live the way you want to live and get by. You don't talk the way you talk, the way you want to and get by. You don't go where you want to go and get by. You don't sin and get by with God. It don't work. It may not catch you today. It may not catch you this month. It may not catch you for 20 years. But it'll catch you. It'll catch you. It'll catch you because the Lord, He knows. He knows. When I think about that this morning, after I read this verse, I prepared a little slide for you like I did last week. It's going to slide the whole message. Every 25 seconds that screen will change, because I want to get it in your mind. I want you to get it in your head, the seriousness of saying no. Not being harsh this morning. Not being harsh. You know, I don't know that I ever told my daddy no. Because I got on my teeth. So I don't believe I ever told him no. I may not agreed wholeheartedly. I may not have liked it. And I never sassed my daddy. Never, ever did I. When he died, I was 38 years old, and I stood at the casket, and I looked down at him, and I said, Daddy, I never back-talked you in 38 years. I love you, and I'm glad I never back-talked you. Never told him no. And you said, well, that's wonderful. But oh, the shame that I've looked in a faith, in a face of a loving God by faith in my mind and heart and told God no. That I've told God no. As a lost boy, I stood on the front bench of the Dothan Missionary Baptist Church. And I would stand there after my daddy would preach. And the invitation was given, just as I am. And all the Jesus paid all the invitations on. And I stood there Sunday after Sunday for three in a row. I stood there and God would speak to my heart. And I said, no. I said, no. I said, no. Oh, but that one Sunday night, May the 27th, 1973, when they rolled across the piano softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. I couldn't stand there no longer. And after the message was preached and a song was sung, I took three easy short steps to the altar and knelt down asking God to save my soul and standing know that I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I didn't say no that night. But then I go back. Here I am saved. Supposed to be living right, doing right. God speaking to my heart to preach the gospel. No, I can't. I ain't going to do it. Day after day, year after year went by. My teenage years, God speaking to my heart and me not moving. God speaking in my heart, not wanting to be what Daddy was or Papa was or any other family. No, no. Rebelling against a holy God that saved me. How can a person who's been redeemed by the blood of Christ and saved for time and eternity, forgiven of everything, how could he refuse what the Father would want him to do? And yet I did. Huh? Until March in 1985, when I was underneath that truck over with Joe Schaefer, underneath that little Dodge 50 Ram truck, putting a U-joint in, laying there crying and trying to pray, and he'd pray with me, and we'd talk, then he'd pray with me again, I'd pray, and for hours, Till finally I said, okay, I've had enough. I'm sorry. Yes, I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll go where you want me to go. Whether anybody wants me to come, I'll not back up. I'll go all the way. I'll give you my life. And for almost 40 years now, to come next month, I've given him all I have. 40 years. That I don't want to ever tell him no again. Don't ever want to tell him no. Why? Because the seriousness of saying no. The scripture says, Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's what it says. The heading in my Bible there at that chapter says, warning and instructions continued. Warnings and instructions continued. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think about that this morning. The cross draws and calls and moves and wants me to come to him. And then after I come to him, he still draws me closer. Teddy prayed it there a while ago. We sung it in Sunday school. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, precious Lord. Always calling, come. Oh, he never pushes away. He calls for us to come. Calls for us to come. Calls for us to get closer and closer and closer. He never pushes us away until he says, all right, enough. Don't come. When you call on me, I'll laugh at your calamity. When your fear cometh, I'll ignore it. What it says in Proverbs chapter 1. You go ahead and keep saying no. Go ahead and keep saying no, and I'll be done with it. Go ahead. You say, where's that line at? I don't know the time. I don't know the place. But I know that it'll cross every path of every person here this morning. It'll cross the path, and God says, enough. It'll say enough. Go ahead and start it there, Jeremy, if you would. And we're going to look this morning. But it says, he that being often reproved. First thing I want you to think about is spirit conviction this morning. Spirit conviction. Nobody goes to hell without being loved. Nobody goes to hell without being given a chance. Nobody goes to hell without him drawing. Nobody goes to hell without the Holy Ghost trying and wanting and wooing you to come to him. No one does. The Bible says in John 6:44 that no man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. He will draw. He said, Rick used it this morning. A lot of what Rick taught this morning, I'll preach here just now. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, speaking of his death on the cross, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from it, will draw all men unto me. He wants everybody, all men, every man, woman, boy, and girl. There's nobody that he don't want. There's nobody that he don't offer salvation to. And he speaks. He speaks. John 16:8 will tell us that when the Holy Spirit has come, that he will reprove the world of sin. He convicts you of sin. He draws on you sin. He reminds you of sin. If you're unsaved, you can even be doing wrong, and there's something inside of you that'll tell you, I should not be doing this. You can't deny the existence of God. You look up into the stars, and your conscience will tell you, as the stars preach to you, that there's a God. What the Bible said. Then after you're saved, does God not speak to you after you're saved? You're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and inside of you it says you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be watching that. You shouldn't be listening to that. You shouldn't be involved in that. As he's trying to reprove you. He that being often reproved. It's not just every now and then. For a child of God, it's every day. If God is not reproving you, you better check up this morning. But he reproves the sinner, and he reproves the saint as well. He calls us, draws us, does he not? How many times has he done that to you? You see something, you say, well, I think that's what I'll do. And the Lord will say to him, Mark, you ain't got no business over. To be inside of me, speaking to me, you ain't got no business. You know better now. You say, well, that's just my conscience. Well, let me tell you something. You're saved. You're saved, the Lord will speak to you. Now, you ain't going to hear no big booming voice, but he'll be talking to you on the inside. Huh? Are you hearing me? If you're lost the same way, spirit conviction this morning. Spirit conviction. He'll speak to you as his Holy Spirit just speaks to you. That's what he come to do. The Holy Spirit come to comfort the believer, but to reprove the world of sin. That's what he come for. What he come for? He'll call you in sickness. Psalms 119:67. You know what it'll tell you? It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, and because I went astray, then I was afflicted." There's many greatest of our sicknesses. Many of our sicknesses would clean up if we'd repent. Many of our ailments would vanish if we come clean with God. Many of our phobias and our allergic stuff and all these things would vanish if we clean up with God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So He calls you through sickness. He calls you, draws you, speaks to you, but yet we still say no so often. Even in James, when we are to come and call for the elders to come and anoint us with oil, which I believe, I just don't believe in doing it with the circus. But it says then, the one who calls is supposed to confess his sins. We want all the oil poured on us, but we don't want to do no fasting up. Huh? Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's Bible. Huh? How about sorrow? Sorrow will come. We all ain't nobody here without some kind of sorrow. We've all had sorrow. We've all had our heart broken. Huh? Let me see here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30 in your Bibles. Well, be on the wall. You have to use your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11 says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thy iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee." Because of our sins, sorrows come. You cry out for sorrow because sins have been increased. You understand that this morning? I want you to understand that we say no to God. He tries to chasten us and reprove us as a Christian. And we say no. We say no. We say no. People reject Him as their Savior. They say no. They say no. Huh? The seriousness is amazing. We don't understand the seriousness. Huh? So we see the Spirit speaks to us through sickness and through sorrow. Brother Rick used it there this morning in Romans chapter 2. He even uses sweetness. It says, "Does not even the goodness of God call us to repentance?" Look how good God is to you. I don't care whether you're saved or lost this morning. God's good to you. He is good to you. Look what you got. Look at the material things you got. Look at the way you got kids and grandkids. You got a grandkid, you're rich. Huh? You're rich. I mean, you're a multi-trillionaire. You got more money than Elon Musk ever had. Huh? Think about it. Huh? The goodness of God. You've got groceries. You've got a place to live. We got, most people have more than one vehicle. They got toys of ever amount. They got cabinets and cellars full of groceries. Huh? We got money in the bank, money in our pocket. We wasted money, lost money, gambled money. Huh? We got money, even people say they're saved. Go out and buy lottery tickets and gamble and pull boards and bet on ball games. They even professing Christians that'll bet on a ball game tonight. Shame on you. You know better than the ones who gamble for the clothes of Christ. If you buy a lottery ticket or gamble anyway, you ain't no better than that outfit that gambled for the clothes of Christ. Amen, preacher. Amen right there. On gambling's a sin. Amen right there. Huh? That's a shame. Everybody should have hollered, "You're right, preacher." But no, we don't, because we say no to God. We say no to God. Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? He uses also not just the spirit and sickness and sorrow and sweetness. He uses servants. He uses soul winners and preachers and teachers, neighbors. Speak to people. I don't know how many thousands of people I've spoken to. I have no clue how many I've preached to. I don't know, 10 states or so I've preached in, 20, 30 counties in the state, Philippines, I've preached in foreign countries. I've preached to 1,000 at a time. I've preached to 5 at a time. I've preached to 1 at a time. Huh? I watched them say no. I watched them stand and grip the bench till their knuckles were turned white. I watched them run out of the church and get in their car and literally blow the engine up on their truck as they left the church house. Literally blowed the engine up. Had to call for a record, running from God, saying no. Still speak to that man today. He's still lost today. He'll say, "I ain't coming to church with you. I rented my truck the last time I come." That's what he'll tell me. And I'll tell him every time, "It's because you said no. Because you said no." Listen to me this morning. This seriousness of saying no, we're often reproved. And he that being often reproved. Are you listening to me? Sometimes it's not even the servant speaking to you. Sometimes it's not a preacher. See, it's so sad. Let me tell you the shape we're in. You know, that it's hard for me to visit as a friend. Did you know that? Even church people, if I knock on their door, you know what people usually say? "Uh-oh, there's the preacher." It's not, "Hey, here's Mark coming." No, when I come, "There's the preacher." I see them peeping out the curtains. Church members. There ain't nothing going on. Just come by to holler. Huh? And they're wondering, "What's he here for? What have I done? What does he want me to do?" Think about it. See, the Lord speaks, and sometimes servants don't have to say a thing. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes somebody will just sing a song that just wears me out. It wears me out. I'll never hear softly and tenderly that my mind don't go back to that night I got saved. I'll never, ever hear that song that I don't go back and remember the feeling of being lost and the feeling of being saved. Huh? Are you hearing me this morning? Not only do I see this, that he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. I don't only see spirit conviction, but I see stubborn rebellion. Stubborn rebellion. Not now. Not now. Have you ever told God, "Not now"? Have you ever walked out of the church, you're here lost this morning? Have you ever told God in the past, "No, not today, not now"? Maybe someday, but not now. Not now. I've met them at the door. I've shook hands with them when they've left. How about, "No, not today"? Knocked on their doors, "No, not today." In the hospital room, "No, not today." In a funeral home, "No, not today." At the workplace, in the mines, at the shop, "No, not today." I know you're telling me right, but not today. Stubborn rebellion. How many times have you walked out as a believer of this church on Sunday morning knowing you ought to stop something or start something, but not today? But not today. You ain't going to do it today. Oh, I've studied about it. Huh? The seriousness of saying no. Like, you know why we don't say no? Because of pride. We think we got all the time in the world. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow will hold. Can I read you one of the most dumbest accounts in the Bible? I mean, it's a truth account, but I don't know of any dumber person. There's not a dumber person in the Bible that I'm going to read about right now. Go to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Moses is dealing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the leader of Egypt. Moses come to redeem the children of Egypt, and there's plagues going on. You know, he turned the water into blood, and he goes down the line, and here he comes. Verse 6, I'll start at verse 6, Exodus chapter 8, verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs of land. Now, let me tell you how dumb things are. Aaron performs a miracle, and here comes all the frogs out of the water. And the magicians, they done it, and here come more frogs. They didn't get rid of no frogs. They brought more frogs. Did you ever read that? You ever notice that? I mean, that's really bad, ain't it? Hey, we're going to have a favor. I'll show you what. Let my magicians do it. Well, why would you want more? I just let them say shut up. But that ain't the dumb part. Look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frog from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, you understand we're not talking about 100 frogs. We're talking about in the whole land of Egypt, there was frogs in the beds, there was frogs in the dough pans, there was frogs in the oven, there was frogs in the pillows, there was frogs in the pockets, there was frogs in their old slimy, stinking frog. All right? Well, that's what they love. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I just never did care for a frog. I never played with frogs when I was little. Some of these kids, I watched them. You got to watch them when they're little. The Woodses and Hannah and Lanny, you got to watch them. They'll have frogs in their pocket. I mean, they'll have frogs in a bucket, in a box, in their pocket, in a cup. I mean, little frogs, big frogs, everything. Well, I think they stink. Old slimy frog. And the land was full. Can you imagine? Can you imagine turn over in your bed and there'd be a frog laying there beside you? You feel something in your shirt and it's a frog. You feel something going up your breeches, it's a frog. You go to get you a piece of pie and there's a frog in your pie pan. I mean, everywhere you look. All right? And it says, and Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Is that not the dumbest thing you ever heard? Is that not the dumbest thing you ever heard? Frogs everywhere, aggravating, stinky, slimy frogs. When do you want me to? Oh, tomorrow, be all right. Not today. Just treat the Lord tomorrow. Stubborn rebellion. No, I'll suffer with it one more night. One more day. Pride. Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. Stubborn rebellion. You say, well, I ain't that bad. Have you changed? Where's the change that the Lord is supposed to bring on us? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Why is not that happening? Because I say no. Because I say no. The seriousness of saying no, we don't understand. He that being open reproved hardeneth his neck. Huh? Pleasure. The Bible says, for the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Do you know that many people will rebel because they don't want to quit doing what they're doing? There's people today that's in adulterous affairs that won't get right with God because they don't want to stop their affair. I've done knocked on too many doors and found too many things knocking on doors. I'll never forget this. I'll just tell you how the Lord works. I was at a store and I talked to a man, and he said, "I'll be home later." I said, "Well, I'll stop by." Well, I stopped by later and I knocked on the door. There was a man there, but it wasn't a husband. I've never seen such embarrassment. Standing in the living room naked, and I'm knocking on the screen door, and it ain't the husband and the wife together. The husband hadn't got back yet. Well, of course, it was hard to talk to him about the Lord. But I did. They went and got their clothes on. Nah, I'm not going to quit. Listen. After 40 years, you see a lot. After 40 years, you hear a lot. After 40 years, there's a lot of circumstances that come up. But the answer is the same. No. 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 The seriousness of saying no. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed." Sudden destruction. Somewhere, God's going to say enough is enough. It happens. It happens. It'll happen. Sometimes, sudden destruction will come in your mind. Do you believe that? You believe your mind can be messed up, but you don't believe the truth? Huh? Talk to me. How about 2 Thessalonians? Verse 11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteous." That's 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. Don't tell me that God don't draw a line. He draws a line. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be harsh. Do you understand that how lost your people are? Do you understand how lost you are? Do you understand the condition of people? They say no. Have you talked to your family this week since last Sunday as we preached on hell and preached on the blood being required at your hands? Have you talked to your family? How many said yes? I got no calls that anybody said yes. But if you talk to them, if they didn't say yes, let me tell you what they said. No. And the danger of saying no, the danger of saying no, that God might not ever fool with you again. So, well, God's loving. He won't do it. Yes, He will. He's just and holy. Listen tonight, this morning, I'm not trying to be harsh or mean. I'm trying to warn you. trying to warn you that's listening on live stream. I'm trying to warn those today. There'll be over 1,000 people that will get on the web page today and view our services today. What was it, Jeremy? 10,000 a month on average. 10,000 a month get on our web page and listen to the services. 10,000 people. I'm not just telling you, but I'm telling them and telling you on live stream, listen, the seriousness of saying no. Think about it. Sudden destruction of the mind. Sudden destruction of the mind. Sudden departure of the spirit. Brother Rick read it last week, Genesis chapter 6. For my spirit will not always strive with man. Let me see if you understand that. Was there ever a time you talked to someone and it seemed like, boy, God would deal with them and they would get under conviction and they're going to do it. But now if you speak to them, it's like talking to a pole. It's like talking to a fence post. No emotion, not even feel like they're understanding what you're saying. Has God stepped away? If you read your Bible and study your Bible, there's even places that He'll withdraw from a church. He'll withdraw from a believer. He'll withdraw to where your conscience is seared. Huh? You believe that? How about Romans? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm talking about the seriousness of saying no. Huh? How about Romans chapter 1? How about we start verse 18? It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that they which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up." It is now saying God gave them up. Now we see it again, verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use of the which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God give them over. Don't tell me that there's not sudden destruction. Don't tell me there's not sudden destruction of the mind. Don't tell me that he don't draw a line. Listen to me. The danger, the seriousness of saying no. We better know what God says. He says, come. All of them, come. Come on. I love you. Come on. And he says, okay. If you don't want to come, then don't. And I'm done. And I'm done. I'm done. Sudden destruction. We see it up there on the pictures. You see them? You see the sudden destruction of the mind being confused? Huh? Tell somebody the truth. Can I tell you this morning that you can tell somebody the truth? Take your Bible, show them the truth. They'll say no. The next thing you know, they're out in some left field doctrine of some stupid false religion. They'll run to that because it appeases to their flesh and there's no change. Mind's gone. Been seeing it happen. That's where your false doctrine gets messed up anyway. Huh? Listen to me. Body, mind, spirit, body. Sudden destruction, death. Huh? Sudden death. 1 Samuel tells us that there's not but a step between us and death anyhow. Huh? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Listen, I've had a stroke. I've had a heart attack. I had more than one heart attack. I didn't plan it. March the 1st of 19, when I went in the shower that morning, I said, things ain't right here. I was having trouble getting everything going. I go to get the soap off the and that arm don't. Man, I must have slept wrong. And I get bathed, get showered, get my clothes on. I make it to my recliner. And I say, uh-oh. Cheryl, the new help. I had a stroke. I didn't plan on it. Sudden. I had my first heart attack. I wasn't 38 years old. I was working for Shane. I was working for Shane. I'd cut timber all week long. Had the hottest August we'd had in years. I was out there. I was the landing, and they were just the three of us working. No loading machine. They was cutting and skidding, and I was cutting up on the landing, trying to keep up with the skid, with the dozer skidding them cutting in a field and near 100 degree weather. I make it all week, and I'm done. And that Sunday, I preached. After church, I run to the Memorial Hospital to make a visit to Cheryl's grandmother. And Sunday afternoon, I have a heart attack at the Charleston Hospital. And I go lay in the car through stubborn rebellion to go in the emergency room. And I laid in the car at the Heart Hospital and have a heart attack and drive to Somerville Hospital to go to the doctor. Is that dumb or what? Huh? Dr. Olson and Dr. Fleer work on me in the emergency room. They put me in ICU and they said, don't let him move. Don't let him have no visitors. Don't let him up. If we can get him stable, we'll get him to Charleston. That's before they flew anybody. That was 2000, August of 2001. I didn't plan that. Sat down there, laid down there in a hospital in Charleston after they transferred me and had the morphine drip, had the glycerin going in me, the glycerin drip, had a morphine drip, and or shots, and I was so messed up. The nurse sat by my bed all night because they couldn't keep me steady. I didn't plan that. I didn't plan that. I wasn't 38 years old. Hey, nobody 38 years old plans on having a heart attack. Huh? Nobody. Did. See, we don't realize. He that being offered for truth, heart and neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Mind, spirit, mind, and body. Are you listening to me? Car wrecks. We showed you a picture of a car wreck up there. Well, they didn't plan on that. They didn't plan on that. Teenagers, they don't plan on that. Teenagers live forever. No. No. Teenagers rebel. They say no to God. Can I tell you, it's not just for old people. Some of y'all have been in law enforcement and worked with the fire department and everything. You've done cleaned up too many. You've done cleaned up too many wrecks that nobody planned. Here just a couple weeks ago, and if you're kin to this person, I'm not trying to hurt nobody, but they didn't plan, that young girl didn't plan on running the light and hitting a cattle trailer at Mount Nebo two Fridays ago and her life being taken. She didn't get up that morning and say, well, I'll have a wreck at Mount Nebo Intersection. That don't enter nobody's mind. Are you hearing me? Can I tell you this morning, the sudden destruction will come. And you say, well, how do you know they said no? Well, that may not have been the instance there. I'm just telling you it does happen. Does everybody understand that? Are you listening to me? And then it says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Some without remedy, because of living in sin, they die in sin. Do you know that? Sometimes a believer will be talked to and convicted who's went astray, and God does his best to get them back where they need to be. And they say no. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 says, if any man sees brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Don't tell me there's not a line. Don't tell me that you can't live disobedient to God. So finally God says, no, you're not going no further. You're not going no further in this sin. Are you listening to me this morning? Then we have not only that sudden destruction, it comes down to settled destiny. Dying because of sin. And then Romans 6:23 will tell us, for the wages of sin is death, dying in sin. Over in John chapter 8, I believe, Jesus looks at the Pharisees. He's trying to talk to them about who he is. And he said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. The seriousness of saying no to God. Is God wanting you to quit something that you've been dabbling in? Is God constantly telling you, listen, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You find yourself going further and further away from the Lord. Can I tell you that he would rather take you out and be with him as for you to be a stumbling block from others coming to Christ? But we don't hear that much anymore because saying no has been our custom. Saying no to authority has been our custom. We are a proud, hard people. And saying no has become our way of life. Other than to the devil, we say yes to him. Ain't we got it backward? Listen this morning. I've done dealt. Cheryl has witnessed it. Others have witnessed it. I've took my Bible. I've laid it in people's laps. I've wept, I've watched them weep in the pages of my Bible, trying to get them to come to Christ. They say no. Now they won't even speak to me. Now they won't stop by the house. They won't let me. They don't want me to talk to them. They've done said no. Is God done? I don't know. I still try to talk to them. I don't know where the line's at. I don't know where the time's at. Neither do you. But I'm just telling you, I see the difference. See, every time you say no, it hardens your heart. As a believer or as an unbeliever, it hardens you. We find that in relationships. We find that in relationships at home. We continuously say no to someone, and the relationship gets conflict, does it not? Watch your kids bow up. Keep telling your kid no. Huh? Keep telling your kid no. Then they play. They'll ask dad, and dad says no, they'll go ask mom. I hope mom. But if mom and dad are right, mom will say no too. Little kid. It's that stubborn rebellion. See, we're not accustomed to not having our way. We got to have our way. Brother Rick, I don't know that I'll ever forget the other day. Every time I see him, I know I'll think of it. You will too. Every time I drive by that house, every time I see any of the family, I'm going to think, no, don't ever, ever say anything to me about the Bible. Don't come preaching to me, any of that. Don't ever, never. I don't know why I asked you to come. I wish I had never asked you to come. I don't want to hear it. Don't ever try to tell me again. What they said. What they said this week. Are you saying no today? Are you saying no today? How serious is it? You tell me. Clark, you come and we'll sing Just As I Am. Without one plea, for that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. He's asking you to come. Why don't you say, yes, I'll come? Don't say, yes, I'll come. Christian friend, are you saying no? Are you rebellious to God? Do you want you to quit something or start something for Him or quit something you ain't been doing? You've been saying no. Have you been living in sin? You ought to say, no, I'm not doing it no more. I'm coming to Him. I'm coming to Him. About a Christian friend, let's sing.